Bank of Cardiff, this is Kevin.
Hey, Kevin. Kit Peters with Siggins.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, sir?
Doing well. Doing well.
Good. I was following up to see exactly how this thing was going to play out here. I know we had to split up the cost, correct? I mean, could you
right.
kind of explain to me what's going on?
Well, between you and I, please. Kim doesn't qualify for one loan of say 150 or 185. Part of the reason is one of the options he may have for that. He already has a pretty significant balance.
Okay.
So then the other plan was going to be for us to give him a cash loan, which was going to cover half of the modular offices,
okay.
which we've done. And then we were going to do, so essentially we were going to fund half of the modular offices. And then he has some other equipment as well from another vendor that is like coolers or something along those lines.
Okay.
So we have a separate loan for that as well.
Okay.
But then he came back and said, I need more of this cash that you're giving me for all of the other build outs that we're doing. What are my other options? Can you somehow give me two smaller loans to cover the modular offices?
Okay.
So that's what we're doing. And I also want to have this conversation with you as well. I'm still, working through, documentation. He signed the loan contract. So I'm just, getting the final approval set for you guys and payment terms set up with you.
Okay.
But will these two separate invoices be able to be inspected separately? I mean, are these essentially all one in the same unit, or can they be separated into two different serial numbers and two separate products? Because there will be site inspections on this unit. There'll be two if we're doing two separate loans. So I don't know if it's a timing thing or if they can stand alone separately and then be put, after they're inspected, put together as one unit, or what's your opinion on that?
Well, I mean, really, since they are offices, I mean, there's not necessarily a serial number. There'd be an order number attached to them. But there'd be no real way to separate them. I mean, I say that because they're all in a type of office layout. I mean, there's multiple offices that it's going to entail.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see any way we could really divide it, and even at that, make it divided in such a way that matches the figures. You know what I mean? The figures of what the two different loans are. Yeah, is that going to be critical that happens, or?
Well, so here's what happens on what we consider an equipment loan or a collateralized loan. We have to file a lien on our collateral, right?
Yep.
The problem we run into, if we can't find a way to separate them, and, we would need some sort of serial number from you, even if you don't normally do it, but if, some sort of made-up serial number, so that, when an inspector comes by, we can see that number. The reason that's important is we have to be able to denote, say our equipment from somebody else's. In this case, both pieces are ours, but they're on two separate loan programs or two separate departments. So when they've got to file a lien on it, they need to make sure that a lien is filed on our equipment so that they're comfortable. I mean, there's never going to be a repossess type situation. I mean, I've been doing this for 16 years. It's happened one time. But legally, underwriting, part of their job is to make sure that, this is a legal loan. For it to be considered legal now, especially after the, 9/11 stuff, the collateral has to be, a lien has to be filed on it. It has to be a legal lien. So there has to be a serial number, and they have to feel like, if somebody ever had to go and pick it up, they can walk in there and say, okay, these are our offices. Here's the number, that the lien was filed under.
Okay.
So being that, we have two separate loans, we're going to have two separate serial numbers and have to make it at least appear that the equipment can be, that it is separated. So well, the inspections I mean, will be two,
I shouldn't say we could.
Two separate times.
Okay.
So, you know, say when, you know, Inspector A shows up, he needs to be able to view the offices. And they don't come until everything's, you know, put together. He needs to view the offices, take a couple pictures, and take a picture of a serial number on there somewhere. And then Inspector B comes, and he needs to be able to come and take some pictures and take a picture of a different serial number. Now, we don't need to find a way to say, okay, this is 85, you know, percent of the offices over here, and, you know, here's 15% of them over here based on the sale price. You know, we don't need anything like that because, you know, you know, the model number and description are, you know, pretty much the same. It just says 9 foot tall. It doesn't say, you know, how many offices or square footage or anything like that. So
that makes sense. Yeah, we could do that for sure. I mean, that's what I was thinking too. You know, we could, one run of offices could be a serial number and another run of offices could be a separate serial number to give it the appearance that, you know, they're two separate. If that, I kind of understand what you're saying, so.
Yeah, exactly.
That's something we could do. Yeah, the serial number might just be a sticker that we put on there.
Yeah, exactly.
That could be something we do, and then, because, like I say, the buildings themselves don't necessarily have, they'll have an order number attached to it, but not necessarily a serial number, so we can just make a serial number on a sticker and put it in two separate areas of the offices, one for one area and one for another.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know if you guys have any of those little aluminum tags or, you know, something like that. Maybe not even put the second one on until, you know, the first inspection's done, or maybe when, you know, a first portion of them are built. Maybe we send the inspector out, and he inspects it based on the first serial number, and then they complete the rest of them, and, you know, we call the second inspector out, you know, something along those lines.
Okay. All right, yeah, and I can work with Ken, too, on that. I mean, that's something we can do. So I guess the thing, are you going to be providing the other $55,000 loan then too, or is that still in the works?
No, they're both done. He's actually, he just signed and returned the loan documents for the 55 right now. I'm actually sending him the docs for the 85,000 as soon as we get off the phone, and he'll complete those and send them back to me as well.
Okay. So, well, because what I was saying, if we do, because what we have to do is Starco's the manufacturer, so they request a down payment from us is the only reason we're requesting a down payment. So we would like to do 30% of both if possible, just
to
cover our cost on the front end. So that's why I was asking if we'll fill this one out for the 85, but then you'll send me another one for a 55, or should
For the 55, I don't need the form.
Okay.
For the 55, I just have to show what you've already done for me. I have to show on the invoice that you require the 30% down. That program just doesn't require the same form to be filled out for the pre-funded.
Well, cool. I'll fill it out, and then I guess just to make sure, I got you on the phone, I mean, it says reason for pre-fund. I just put material fabrication down payment required from the manufacturer. Is that, will that work, or is there some other verbiage I should use?
Yeah, I would just put just upfront costs.
Okay.
Upfront manufacturing costs. I wouldn't mention to them that, you know, it's a separate manufacturer.
I got you.
I don't know that it will really affect anything, but some of these underwriters get a little bit paranoid, and they start to think, well, we're actually financing our client, but we're actually financing the vendor too, you know, because we're covering their costs, whatever. So that's the way everybody does it nowadays, but every once in a while you'll get a guy in a weird mood and he's like, oh, well, these guys aren't the manufacturer. They're just sending their money elsewhere. How do we know that it's really only going to take a few weeks? And, you know, just the less people involved, the more comfortable they are. So I would just note, you know, upfront manufacturing costs.
Okay. And then what else did I say? Deliveries will be about 4 to 5 weeks. So I'll just put approval drawings must be generated and equipment built to order for the reason longer than 30 days.
I would just put estimated delivery date 4 to 5 weeks.
Okay.
You know, again, you don't want to give them any reason to think that there could be a holdup somewhere, you know, that there still needs to be something done. You know, when they, like we had talked about earlier, when they see a quote looks like, you know, it's kind of beginning stages and there's still a lot that can change. typically once an invoice is provided, that means, you know, this is it. If you pay us this amount, you know, we're going to deliver the equipment. Nothing else could change. So if we, if we start putting anything in there that makes it look like, well, this isn't a done deal yet, they feel like,
yeah,
well, we could pay 30% and then something could change and we have to change our loan documents. They don't, you know, it's not a judgment thing or, you know, them wanting to be in control. It's more along the lines of, okay, well, we've got signed contracts based on a loan amount and we're paying them based on that loan amount. If anything changes, if the amount goes up or down, our loan documents aren't valid anymore because we have to know that what we're paying them covers all costs, because if there is any outstanding costs, we legally can't file a lien on the equipment because we don't own it if you're still owed money. So they just want to feel like, you know, we're developing this loan based on a final invoice and amounts and nothing can change.
Okay. So, perfect. Well, that makes sense. I'll reword that and then I'll get this sent back over to you.
Perfect.
Okay, so is that, does that give us the go-ahead then to, will you guys send us a purchase order, or there'll be a purchase order number, or?
I can do that. We typically, if we're pre-funding, we typically don't send a purchase order, because we figure just sending payment is kind of our, you know, agreement to terms. If you want some sort of purchase order, just let me know in that email, you know, what you want it to read, but other than that, yeah, we're moving to funding. Just kind of depends on, you know, how long it takes me to get, this form in their hands and signed off on. And, you know, like I said, we have the $55,000 docs in, so we're starting that process already. And then I'll get him the docs on the 85. So, it could be a couple days to have the money in your account. It could be, you know, Friday, just because there's two separate loans. It'll come one at a time. So I'll just kind of keep you in the loop as to where we are in the two separate fundings.
Okay. All right, that'll work. Yeah, I mean, you understand on our end, we just have to, just for our sake, before we start releasing orders and manufacture, you know, starting the manufacturing process, we want to make sure that we got a firm order in place and something's not going to be revoked or recalled. So.
I get it completely.
So I guess if anything, if even in lieu of a PO, when I send this back to you, in an email, if you could just reply in an email and say, please proceed according to provided invoice/quote.
Absolutely.
And that way we just have something in writing that covers me, covers Siggins, you know.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, sounds good. I'll get this sent over to you here in the next few minutes then, and then we'll proceed accordingly.
Perfect. That works.
Thanks a lot, Kevin. Appreciate the clarifications. I just want to make sure I knew what was going on. That makes complete sense, though, so we're good to go.
Very cool. Yeah, no, I appreciate your time as well and reaching out. It's always easier, I guess, when everybody's on the same page, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's easier to do it now than after the fact. So, all right, well, have a good one, Kevin. Thank you.
Absolutely. Hey, and if you run into, you know, I don't know if you guys have a finance company you use. I know this is... there's probably a lot of people that aren't willing to finance these, but, you know, we've obviously got them approved. So, you know, if you run into people that are looking for it, or if you run into a client that, you know, like these guys, just doesn't have the pocket cash to cover them and, you know, have to close the deal. You know, sometimes offering a payment is much easier than trying to, you know, close them on 140, 150K and, you know, modular offices.
Exactly. Cool. So. We do a lot of, most of what we do really is conveyor and pallet rack and other warehouse type equipment. Do you guys do any kind of financing for that type of stuff?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I've been doing this for a long time. I write loans for the most part. You know, I know leasing is, you know, kind of a bad word with a lot of clients. So our programs are mostly loans, so they're more beneficial to them and better terms and, you know, all that good stuff. So you don't have to deal with some lease broker or anything like that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, that's good to know, because that could help us, because I know we work with a lot of privately owned, you know, smaller companies that just don't have, like you say, the capital to just throw at some of these bigger projects. But, I mean, you know, the ROI is there, but they just don't have the upfront cash. So.
Right.
All right. Well, cool. We'll keep that in mind for sure.
All right. Well, thank you again.
Yep.
And
thank you.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.